So super. So the topic today, which again was going to be the incentive, but I shifted because we don't have the rules yet. Like I told you guys, we'll cover that next week. So our topic today is based on an article that was in Networking Times, I believe it's called. It's called Five Ways to Ramp Up Your Visibility. It was a very simple article, so it doesn't have a lot of depth in it. In fact, it was it took me about 5 minutes to read, maybe 10. But the data in it was really good for a starting point to really talk through some critical points that and maybe these will hit home for you on things that you might not be doing are serving you in the best possible way. So we're going to talk through visibility, because why is visibility important? Because you want to be out there in public, and you want people to get to know you, and you want to get to know people wherever you go. I'll give you an example, just a sample of visibility for me. I play bridge with my husband rarely, because we used to play all the time when we first got married, but then the kids started rolling in, and I raised my stepdaughter and then my niece and nephew, and I said, raising these kids is more important than playing bridge. So I really haven't played very much, but I still, when I go out there, at the time that I started in Nanotech, I was playing more bridge. So a lot of people know that I'm in nutrition. I've gotten my reputation out there. I don't do it in an obnoxious way. I just do it in a loving and caring way. And when I hit the bridge tournament this weekend, my husband and I went out of town to Temple, and sure enough, two different people came up to me and talked to me about their health and health issues. So I got two signups, and I wasn't out there prospecting. But it was about what? It was about putting yourself out there, becoming visible. People know what you're doing, but you're not overselling it. You're just in this world to love on people and help meet their needs. And that's really how that's the perception you want to have. Sometimes you look at network marketers and you go, oh man, Mary Jo, look at that person. They're just all over the place. They're, kind of like Bo Short. I'm not saying anything negative about Bo. It's just his style. His style is, hey, I'm expanding into this area and I'm looking for people who are not averse to making an extra $1,000, $3,000 a month. Do you know anyone who might be interested in that? For me, and that might work for you, but for me, that's a very tough thing to say. It's just hard for me to do that. I'd rather meet a person, because it's, I sound like that super salesman and open up my raincoat with 12 things. It's just the way I feel about it. But if it flows natural for you, then run with it if that's who you feel. Mine is, hi, how are you? What are you doing here? Really? Do you live in this area? Great. It's all about building relationships. My name's Mary Jo. It's nice. John, great. Nice to meet you. I says, so how long have you been living in this area? And I just start a conversation. I'm a conversationalist. But notice my conversation is all about them. So the first way of becoming visible that he suggests is become fascinated. Don't be fascinating, but become fascinated. So when you go to networking events, and I don't know how many of you go to these networking meetup groups, all these places, there are a zillion of them. And I tell people to go there all the time, collect cards. But the idea is not to go there and pass out cards and search for referrals. The idea that might be the whole reason I go to a meetup group is because I'm trying to make connections with people, but that's what it is. Because it's not about going out and saying, oh, listen, I'm in the nutrition industry. If you know anyone who helps, I'll help you. What do you do? Okay, marketing, great. And then we exchange cards and you go your merry way. And then you get home and you take all these cards you've collected, and all of you have done this, and you start emailing everybody, or you call them, and, no one's interested, right? And how many frustration? I have a bag full of cards that I'm putting through a system. Oh, there it is. Lydia pointed at it. It's a plastic bag, and it probably has 300 cards in it, or maybe more, because I used to do that too, and some of you are still doing that, and I'm just saying, how's it working for you? Probably not very well. And here's the reason. You can't just collect a bunch of cards and send an email to somebody. They have no idea who you are. You made no connection with them. There is no relationship built. And you go, well, Mary Jo, it's really hard in a meetup group. I said, great. Maybe when you go to a meetup group, you try to talk to two people in 2 hours instead of 22 people in 2 hours. Because how do you really get to share very much, right, in a if you go to the, and then I look at some of these meetup groups. I've been to a couple of them, and more than my share, fair share. But usually they have them at bars and things like that, and it's so bloody loud. I mean, you can't even hear yourself. And I don't find that very conducive. Sometimes I go out on the patio and I sit down with my, you know, my glass of unsweetened iced tea, and I'll just, you know, meet the people that come outside, and because it's so much more, it's a friendlier, softer atmosphere. But what you want to do is you want to, you know, you don't want to just collect cards, because you're going to lose proposition. In the, because as Ralph Waldo Emerson said, the only way to have a friend is to be one. So how do you be a friend? And some of you go, well, Mary Jo, I don't know how to offer. How do I? And I go, you be a friend. The number one way is to be a great listener. Ask questions. You know, what are they doing there? What do you do for a living? Find out what they do and say, how did you get involved in that? And really pursue them. And if they turn it back on you, you answer their question, you go right back to them. So, you know, you don't want to be the expert. You don't want to be the you don't want to be the center of attention. You want to make them the center of attention, right? So it's about asking questions. Let them tell you their story, not your story. That's how you break the ice. You get involved in a relationship with somebody, and you ask those questions. It's not about, you know, here's my card. Oh, do you know anyone who wants to make an extra $1,000 to $3,000? And here's my card. I'm telling you. Doesn't work. You got to do that a million times to find one person, maybe. And it's going to be somebody just like that. I'd rather find people that are, you know, that are really, what should I say, all about people, all about helping others, into contribution, into, you know, and that's what I'm looking for. So, it's up to you. You look and find the people that you want to work with, but you really want to be fascinated with people. And that's how we do it. We let them tell their story. We become a conversationalist, but our conversation is more ask questions, listen, ask questions, listen, ask questions, listen, right? And I remember that book, Natural Selling was it called, right? And it was a great book. It's just, it's all about us putting ourselves out there and getting to know a person by always turning it back and asking questions. So become a great listener, a great question answerer, be fascinated with other people. You can, and Dale Carnegie made this quote, it was in the outline today, it said, you can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can make in 2 years by trying to get the other people interested in you. And that is so true. So be heartfelt, go after people, be interested in them, be a great listener, be a great communicator by being a great listener, and that'll serve you in a huge way. So that huge invisibility. Number two, tell your story. Yes, you during the conversation, and this is really important, you know, when you're having a conversation with somebody that you don't know very well, you just met, you're at a meetup group, you're at somewhere else, you're just introduced to somebody, you're going to be asking what questions about them. And you're going to be fascinated with their story. And you're going to be fascinated with what they do. And you're going to find ways that you can contribute in their life, right? That's what we're doing. So the whole idea here is that we try to connect with people. And how do we know whether we connected with somebody or not? And he, you know, in this article, it was great. The statement he made, he says, it's you know you connected during the conversation when they ask about you. If they start showing interest in you, then you know you've connected. And that's important because if you're not connecting with somebody and you hand exchange cards, how far is that conversation going to go? Not very far. It probably won't get any further. Am I going to still give them a card? Absolutely. But I'm not going to have a great expectation around that interaction. I'm looking for substantive interactions, not superficial ones. So see whether they start asking you questions and show interest in you. That's normal for people, but it doesn't always happen. So most people, when they start talking about themselves, they feel an imbalance in the conversation, so they're going to say, so tell me a little bit about you, you know? And that's why you need to have your story, right? And you need to be ready with that story. It's whatever that story is for you. It's a problem for a lot of people. They don't like talking about themselves, so they get down to, you know, what's my story? Well, what do you mean, Mary Jo, what's my story? Well, your story could be take you 47 seconds. You know, it could be a sound bite, right? Because a minute is a long period of time to tell a story. You really can tell a life story in a minute. You can also tell a life story in an hour. But what's your preference in this situation? It's going to be shorter, but not, you know, it could be something more elaborate. You know, it might be 2 minutes. But remember, the longer time you're taking up, the person, you want to watch them to see, are they really interested? Am I really hitting the ground running with it? And we're going to talk about that in a minute, too, how to make sure your story is appropriate. But you want to make sure that you have the story down. And some of you are out there, and every time somebody asks about your life, it's a totally different story. Do you ever find that out about yourself and see that happen? Because you don't really have your story. You know? So what is your story? What is it about your story that relates to you? What is it about, you know, what's going on in your life? And my story, can your story change depending on how you read the person you're talking to? Absolutely. Some of you are going, oh, my gosh, Mary Jo, it's going to be hard enough for me to memorize my own story, and let's have varying ones depending on what the person, you know. And this is when you get really, when you get really good at reading people. You know, we talk about personality quadrants, which is a wonderful thing for you to understand. If you haven't done that training, definitely look it up and get some training in that area, because you want to match the other person's energy. So Mary Jo, you know, I'm probably my major quadrant is what we call promoter, you know, because I love social, I love having fun, I love interacting, I love to be on stage. That's typically, we call that quadrant, promoter quadrant. But there are three other quadrants out there. So when I'm a promoter quadrant, and when I meet somebody who's in my quadrant, who's also a promoter, I love to tell the story about traveling all over the world and archaeological digs, and I was a lawyer and I was doing this kind of stuff. And I said, but this is what happened. And I said, it got me so grounded in knowing I wanted to pour into people's lives. But then I got involved with Manatech, and now I've been all over the world. I mean, I thought that this would be something, he says, I've traveled all, and I talk all about all the places Manatech sends me and how much fun, and this business is so awesome. And that's my story to a promoter. So what do I talk, when I talk, tell my story to somebody who's in the supporter quadrant, okay? What's my story to a supporter? A supporter is somebody that loves walks on the beach, the flowers, the honey, you know, the bees. Their biggest problem in life is that they don't know how to say no. They're just soft, gentle souls, as I would describe them. And so if I meet somebody in the supporter quadrant and they ask, well, Mary Jo, tell me about you. And I'll go, I had this desire in my heart all the years that I was practicing law, because I was an attorney by profession, to do something different, to really, how can I make a difference in people's lives? Because sure, I made it in my career, but I felt like I was making millionaires billionaires, and there really was not a huge value in that for me. And so when my dad got sick, and then I tell a story about my dad being sick and looking, and I said, this is really a vehicle, and I believe, I'm a Christian, so I believe God brought it into my life, but I said, this is a vehicle that has allowed me to pour into people like nothing else I've ever done. Notice the tone of my voice changes. I talk about, and then I talk about M5M and the fact that we're helping malnourished kids all over the world. I said, it just is, I mean, it is the greatest. And that's how I talk to a supporter. So notice my story is different when I talk to a supporter versus a promoter. And I could go through all the quadrants, but understanding the four quadrants, number one, you have to understand how to read somebody. And secondly, you need to transform your story to be in their quadrant. Because the one thing you learn when you understand personality quadrants is where do people feel the greatest joy and comfort when you're communicating in their quadrant. If I was this rambunctious promoter to a supporter, they would be overwhelmed. They would go into overwhelm. If I did that to an analyst, they would look at me and say, I don't think your statements are 100% accurate. Let's clarify this. You know what I mean? So you have to be really clear. But again, have the story. have your story, know how to build on it, know what things to emphasize based on personality quadrants if you want to get that educated about it. And I suggest you do, because understanding personality quadrants really helps with your effective sign-up rate. If I can be more effective, and this is what I always tell people, and it's a story of go pro, everything. If you become professional at the four core activities, if you become a pro on the four personality quadrants, I'm going to tell you, this business is a slam dunk. Because you understand all that, you put it together, and you go out there, and you're just like the ever-ready bunny, ready to solve people's problems all over the world. And that people are looking for solutions. I'm telling you, the world's full of people with opinions on everything, but not very many people have solutions. And our business is what? Since the day I started in Manatech, when I first learned, I shouldn't say the day I started, when I first did all my trainings in my first year, and then I got into doing Pathway to Presidential, I always told people this business is about two core principles. Number one, it's about need fulfillment. We find people's needs and we show them how they can potentially fill them. We are solution people. So, and when you meet the other person's needs, they'll be endeared to you forever. So it's a need fulfillment business. And the second concept is this: people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And the number one way we show how much we care is we become great listeners. So those two are just basic core principles to network marketing. And if you get those down, you'll be incredibly effective. So our purpose is what? To help people get what they want, not expect other people to give you what you want. And come at it in that direction, you'll be very effective. So get your stories down and get your understanding of the personality quadrants. And they're great books. Some of you are at Manifest, and we heard some great speakers on that in the past. And it's really invaluable information to help you be as effective as you can. Third, what's a third way to ramp up your visibility? Connect, then reconnect. Once you connect with somebody, and this is, one of my problems as a promoter, I think our quadrant is the worst at this. The supporter quadrant is the best. But my quadrant as the promoter is really, I have to work on pushing myself to reconnect and solidify my connections. Because I love connecting and I love the effervescence of the moment. But a day later, 3 days later, I forget who I connected with. So I've got to take those cards and keep them, on my desk and remind myself. In fact, today I have a to-do list that I work off of every day, and there's always a half dozen names on there or a dozen names on there of people I need to reconnect with, because you want to solidify it. You can care about somebody in the moment at a meetup group or at a talk or at a convention or at a restaurant, but none of that matters unless you reconnect, right? It's about reconnecting, solidify it. So when you send an email out to follow up with somebody, you want to make sure you give them a call. You want to make sure that you reconnect. You send another touch to them. You keep in touch. And so it's about collecting their business cards, keeping in touch when you meet that person, keeping up to date with them, finding out what they're doing, other ways of doing it. Today it's unbelievable how many ways you can connect with people, because why? Social media. We have 101 ways of social media. I put in the outline today, we talked about Facebook, LinkedIn, all those things, and I just signed up my third week or fourth week. This is my fourth week in a class that on social media, how to connect on social media. And it's invaluable information, but it's learning how to use these tools. So, and connecting, because when you meet somebody, you can say, are you on Facebook? Are you on LinkedIn? Great. And so that's another way you can just drop a note, make sure you post a fun picture or something, and keep interfacing with them easily on that level. And that's developing the relationship, right? So it's really important to have that in your panoply of activities so that you are continuing to connect, because this business is about what? The one thing you read about, hear about, trained on over and over and over again is that, in fact, we talked about it when we just read that recent book through the flight team. And what he talked about was 80% of the sales are closed between the 5th and the 12th contact. So why are you expecting to sign somebody up the first time you meet them? See how ridiculous our expectations are? So So if you deal with everybody from a realm of, I don't have an expectation till the third, fifth, seventh time that we talk or share information, you're going to have a blast at this business because you're going to be having all these balls in the air, and you just keep track of them, and you just keep in Facebook and LinkedIn allow you to do that. Now, you don't want to have 100 going on at the same time or you'll drive yourself crazy, but, you know, 10 to 15 you can deal with. And some of you go, Mary Jo, no, 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 5 is all I can, or 3 is all I can handle. Well, whatever you can handle, but it's not a lot of time. When I do a Facebook page, how long does it take you? Less than a minute? So it's not like it's taking a lot of your time. But you have to be organized with it to keep that going. So it's always about reconnecting, befriend them, get to know them, find out, respond to their Facebooks, like their things that they're posting there. You know, every post deserves some, either a comment or a like, so you want to be on top of that. And, you know, and offer to help them. You know, there's other ways you can help them. Like some of, you know, if you have somebody in your organization that does research on products or something like that, that's one of the things I love doing is I love helping people, like, analyze products they're already taking. So, like, let's take, for instance, I'll tell you, I did a three-way call last week, and the gal and I connected really well, and she told me she's kind of a product junkie and all this kind of, and I said, whoa. I said, so you take a whole slew, don't you? And she goes, oh, Mary Jo, you can't even imagine. I said, can I do you a big favor? And she said, what's that? And I go, this is a three-way call. I've never met her, just on the call. I said, here's what I'll do for you because I love doing it. I said, make a list, get on your computer, and type me an email and give me every name brand and what product it is, and I will research them all and get back to you with the suggestions. And she goes, really? I mean, she was over, because you know how people collect cardboard boxes full of products? They don't even know why they bought them or why they're taking them or who advised them because they've been accumulating these over the years. Well, you know, they get stuck in that realm, and then they get so frustrated and they don't want to buy Manatech products because they don't even know if they're, you know, if they need them based on all the other products that they're taking. So it's a blessing to help people that way. But I'm not suggesting you do that. I'm just saying find a way you can, how you can offer. What in your background do you have that you can offer to help somebody with? And that's what you want to do, offer to help them. That's a building of relationship. The more you build that relationship, the more they're likely to do business with you and become part of your Manatech family. But don't expect them to be a Manatech family first and then build a, you know, this is, the relationship needs to be built up front in some way, shape, or form to get to that next step. So, and again, using social media, as I said earlier, you go in there and you notice the important things that are happening. I don't mean comment on whether they're going shopping or something, but if something happened in the family or something goes, they had a big celebration, notice those things. Comment on them. Use social media to build those friendships. It's a very effective means of building friendships. So it is about what? Connecting, reconnecting, reconnecting. And eventually, guess what happens? Bingo, you're in, right? And number 4, so connect and reconnect, constant. It's building your visibility, and you need to be on social media today. I know there's some people on this phone that go, Mary Jo, I can't stand doing it. And trust me, I fought Facebook, and I think I've told all of you my story. Lydia, about, was it 10 years ago now? I don't know, 10 years ago, she was bugging me about getting on Facebook. And I said, well, show me what it's about. And she took me to my stepdaughter's Facebook page, and her post that day was about she was going to go out bra shopping. And I looked at Lydia and I said, I will never do Facebook. I do not have time to read about people bra shopping. I mean, it was so ridiculous. It would shut me down for another. Lydia was like, she was so disgusted because she wasn't going to make any progress that day on getting Mary Jo on social media. But today I'm getting more and more active. And, you know, my goal is that by the time I hit Manifest, I will be spending at least an hour to 2 hours a day just on social media. I have a big plan of that being a huge part of my growth in my business. So anyway, and some of you already spend a lot more time than that, so I'm still coming out. It's my coming out party versus some of you who are on the call today who are already social media nuts. But we need to step into it. It doesn't matter what age you are. You can be, you know, just accept it. That's where connecting is happening in by leaps and bounds today, and it really gives you an opportunity to, you know, have a huge impact on lots of people. All right, number 4, stretch your comfort zone. Oh, now we get into the problem area for most of us. If we want to increase our visibility, we've got to start doing things that are outside our comfort zone. Because how do you get comfortable with something? By doing it. Just suck it up and do it. Just start going out and doing different things. And that means, like, what do I want to do? You know, maybe you, you know, what ways have you not, you know, attempted to expand your market yet? You must be very, very flexible in making those choices and looking at things and going, okay, I never want to do that. Just like Mary Jo, I fought off social media for a long time. I'm now entrenched in it and spending a lot of money on getting trained and moving forward. The, you know, we just need to start expanding our horizons and looking for other ways, because there's, last time I looked, there's billions of people on this planet, and we're not going to run out of people, and you're not going to run out of ways to connect with them either. But you've just got to start being creative and finding new ways to doing it. Joining new groups or associations and building relationships. Find interest. Don't go join something that you're not interested in at all, or you don't see yourself ever being interested. Like, you know, like I wouldn't go to hang out at bars because I'm not really big into drinking and getting drunk and all that kind of stuff. That atmosphere isn't, you know, my preference. You know, I might, you know, go to a baseball game and have a beer, you know, during the summer, but that's about the extent of it. I'm not big into alcohol, I have no problem with people who want to drink it. It's just that it's not my ilk, and being around people that get drunk and are kind of slovenly, it's a lot easier. I had my years in college where I did a lot of that activity, and I know that's the people you want to relate with, is other people that are drinking and getting, you know, drunk. You know, that's it. But you don't want to do that today. That's not your style, because if you try to be somebody you're not, you're going to be very awkward at it. So find an interest that you have. Look back in your life. What are some of the dreams you had? I've always wanted to learn how to sail, let's say. Well, go join a sailing club. It's huge that you get out there and stretch yourself. Get out of your comfort zone and do things that you've always wanted to do. Some of you might want to learn how to quilt. Some of you might want to learn how to sew. Some of you might want to join a book club, you know, because reading's so important. If you're not reading 2-3 books a month, then I suggest you join a book club. Reading is an incredible form of education. It keeps you on top and it keeps your brain fresh. And, you know, when we get older, as some of us are on the call, I know I am, and even though I'm getting younger, according to Dr. Alma Ingram, but the idea is we want to continue to keep that brain active and moving forward. So, you know, find a book club. All these kind of things that take a little amount of your time, but create a whole another cadre of group of people that you can be in connection with, those are the things that you want to do. There are meetup groups. You can find any topic that you are, you know, that you're interested in and get into some meetup groups. I got involved in archaeological digs. You know, some of you say, wow, that's really crazy, Mary Jo. Well, yeah, but I didn't do it because of Manatech. I did it before I got involved in Manatech. But I would, you know, I love exposing myself to absolutely totally new ideas, new concepts, you know, understanding them, you know. And actually, when I got involved in archaeological digs, what did I do? I never took a course in archaeology. I didn't even know how to spell the word art. Well, I probably could spell it, but I mean, the idea was it was so outside of what I've ever done in my life. And here I am. I mean, I camped when I was growing up as a kid because we were so poor. But the idea was I stretched myself. I said, I think that's going to be awesome. And so I went on archaeological digs, and then I came back and I went to college and took two courses on Mayan archaeology, the Mayan culture. So I went back to, and it was funny because I was in these classes and everybody's going, you know, none of them have been on digs, and here I was on digs first, and then I'm going back to school. And of course, they'd see me, one person walked and said, are you one of our substitute teachers? You know, because I was 20 years older than everybody in the class at that time, but it was a joy. But those are the kind of things you want to do. Interface with people. Put yourself in positions where you are interfacing with more people. And you don't walk in there wearing a Manatech shirt. You go in there because you're interested. So that's why I say find things that you're going to have true interest in, so that you can really get involved in the topic. And through that, meet lots of people, become social, interact, connect with people, and guess what eventually happens? You build a relationship around magic. So the other thing you can do is you can speak for groups, and we've talked about this before. This is huge visibility issues. Some of you don't want to get out in front of a group, but the Lions and Rotary, and there's a zillion and one clubs like that out there that are constantly looking for speakers. So you just choose a topic. They love to hear from you, and so it's always about just going out there and finding a topic, to choose a topic that you can speak on and prepare and go out and do a speech. Some of you have never done speeches, then join Toastmasters and learn how to give a speech. Toastmasters is another great way to, connect with people. If you want to become a better speaker, then join Toastmasters. That's what the whole organization's about. And you learn how to be a better speaker, how to build a speech. It'll be invaluable for you because the skills of learning how to give a good talk and speak in front of a group apply on one-on-ones. It applies to how your brain works when you deal with going from A to Z. It's all about organizing the brain matter, organizing your thought process so that when you do a presentation, people can follow it. And that's true about one-on-ones. It's true about standing up in front of a group. It's, all those things are helpful. So, and then when you join Toastmasters, of course, you have a whole cadre of people. It's boosting your business in a couple of ways. Number one, it helps you be more effective speaker, and number two, you'll meet a bunch more people that you can hopefully open up to possibly taking our products or joining you for the business, right? Do something amazing so you can add it to your story. This is a great concept that was in the article that I enjoyed because people are interested in hearing really kind of crazy concepts. Just like when people hear about Mary Jo, going on archaeological digs and digging up dead bones in the jungles of Belize and living in, sleeping in hammocks under the trees with the howler monkeys above us. I mean, that's a fascinating story. People, they love to hear because they love to, in a way, there's a romantic side to everybody. We romanticize our lives sometimes, and then we get, wow, I wish I would have done that, or maybe I can think about doing that, and I can help people even open that door to do that because you can, there's universities everywhere that are looking for, volunteers to go on archaeological digs. So that's how I did it. I just didn't develop the dig myself. But there's ways of, finding things like that. And I have a whole cadre of them because I'm one of these people that live my life to the fullest. I love doing all these different things. And it was an awesome time of my life. But you want to do something. It could be learning how to skydive or scuba diving or whatever it is for you. Find something that might be kind of the thing, a trigger point that adds a little pizzazz into life. Because people are attracted to pizzazz. They like to see, even if they're very sheltered in their own life, when they hear that somebody, they have a little bit of envy and they think that, well, if I associate with that person, maybe they'll help me get out of my comfort zone. Does that make sense? So there's a draw to people that have that kind of those kind of experiences because people really, they want to live them, but there's something that's been holding them back. But again, when you talk about something that's an attention getter in your story, don't make a laundry list of 25 things. It's not about you. And that's where, we talk about the number 5 in the outline. It's really, you're becoming an expert, but you don't want to seem self-centered, a very tough point. Because when people ask you about you, I mean, if people ask me about my life and all the things I've done, I could very easily elaborate for an hour. But it's not about that. Because what is this conversation all about? It's about them. So when they ask about me, I need to have my story, but not, and I need a story that has a little pizzazz to it that attracts them. That's why it's important to understand what would attract them, and personality quadrant analysis tells me some of that. But what really is about my story is just a short, concise piece that, so I can, as soon as I'm done, I can go back and put attention on them, right? Because we want to be great listeners. Not the great tellers of the world. If you talk too much, they'll just zoom out. You'll lose them. They'll glass over the eyes. You know right away when they're no longer listening to you and you go, boy, I screwed that up. Great. You know what? People sometimes ask me that. They go, Mary Jo, I was talking and I thought, oh, no, my gosh, I really screwed this up. And she said, what should I do when that happens? And I say, just stop and look at the person and say, you know what? I apologize. I really got carried away. Can I start over and be very concise? Because there's nothing wrong with being humble, right? You want to show humility. You want to apologize when you've really screwed something up. You know, people appreciate that. They really do. And you can't be any worse than where you were on the path you were on. So give it another turn and see if you can't work it out. But be careful that it's not all about you. Get off of you as the center of attention. So your little story needs to be short and sweet, right? And that's important. We also, because we want to continue to keep focused on other people, and that's our whole concept. But becoming an expert also is the concept of, are there other ways that you can put yourself out there so that what? When people think about nutrition, your name comes in their head. When people think about additional income in their life, you know, maybe getting additional $500,000 a month of income in their life, your name comes in their head. How do you get that to happen? How do we make those things happen? We make those things happen by doing what? By becoming kind of an expert out there. So you can write articles, you can publish, speak, write articles, contribute to LinkedIn, Facebook groups, get your name out there. You can call into radio programs, start a blog. There's so many ways that you can use, especially I highlighted a lot of social media, to get out there. You can, you know, what is an expert today? An expert is just somebody that knows a little bit more than the last guy. That's really the definition of expert. Some people write books to do that. I'm not telling you to spend the next 2 years of your life putting together a book, but you can write a short book. You know, just like you look at Eric Worre. Really, how many of you have ever heard Eric Worre's name 5 years ago, 4 years ago, even 3 years ago? Didn't even exist. The guy puts out a book called GoPro. How long is the book? It takes you maybe some of us an hour to read, some maybe 2 hours to read max, an entire book. And that book is so skinny, and he becomes a multi-zillionaire overnight. He's the expert on network marketing. We're paying him $1 zillion to show up at Manifest this year and do training, right? And I mean, this is the guy. Now he became an expert. He had, you know, he had time in the field as well. But let me tell you how much he's making today and what difference it's made in his life because he became the expert, right? And is he really any more of an expert than the next guy that's been out there? Randy Gage, or you look at all the other names out there, you know, all these guys. They're self-promotional. They write a book, and all of a sudden they're the expert. And they know how to market, and that's what Eric Worre is a genius at marketing himself. He's a genius at it. He's done a great job. He's you know, got the right people, surrounded the right people, you know, interviewed the right people, got them involved in his programs, and he knows exactly what he's doing. He's marketing himself in a huge way. So we need to market ourselves in a huge way too, and we do that by blogging or writing articles. You know what? How many of you attend a church? Does your church have monthly or quarterly women's newsletters or newsletters that they put out? I guess what I have? I've captured the health column in our women's newsletter. So every single, I think they do it, Lydia's telling me, it's not every month. Oh, yes, it is. I think it is almost every month. I seem to be writing them every 4 weeks, that I'm doing the health article for the women's newsletter. And what a blessing. Like the one I just wrote up this month was on cardiovascular health, because what is the organ of our body that we think about in February with Valentine's Day? The heart. So that was a blessing. And those are so easy to do. How long does it take me to do an article? Maybe an hour. And you go, well, how would you write all about it? Well, you know what? I just Google heart health, cardiovascular health, Valentine's Day, you know, and guess what? I find everything from A to Z, and I put that information into a article, right? And it's a blessing. People feel blessed. They love the information, and it gets Mary Jo out there. So, you know, find your organization that you're associated with, whether it's a church or anything else, and see how you can be an expert in that arena, you know, in terms of what you're doing. Contribute in some way on a regular basis so that they know you are sincere about what you're doing. Now, some of you on the call today, maybe you just started in Manatech and you're going, oh my gosh, how do I do all this? You don't do it overnight by any means. Trust me, it took me years to get where I am, but it's just the way we approach things. You can join, if you're brand new, I'm going to tell you, join a Toastmasters, become a professional speaker, because that will serve you on one-on-ones that will serve you in getting in front of a crowd. All those are important, very, very important skills to develop, is speaking skills. So, and develop your story. All, you know, the majority of what we talked about today is for somebody who's brand new. It's also for everybody that doesn't have it done yet. But these are important ways for you to increase your visibility, but also have a much higher level of effectiveness in terms of closing rate with people that you connect with, right? And that's what's important for us to do. We want to not be frustrated with our ManTech business. We know the statistics aren't high. We're not going to sign up 90% of the people we talk to. In fact, it's 1 to 2 are really even looking or interested in what you have out of 10. So a 20% rate is really good. So, or 30% some for some people, but, you know, we are out there, and we want to, if we could, if there's skills we can develop and there are things we can do to increase our rate of sign-up, that's what this is about. Because I know you're going to spend your time and energy doing this business, so why not be the best we can be at it so we can achieve our results faster instead of slower? And that's the idea about investing in ourselves first to get this, develop these kind of skills so that we can really have a much better success ratio when we're prospecting. Okay, people, that's all I have for today. Any comments, questions? All right. When you're working on your story, make sure you go to your upline and kind of tell your, you know, maybe draft it out, talk to your upline about it, make sure you've got it condensed. And like I said, personality quadrants, if you're not familiar with that, definitely brush up on that. It's not even something, even if you're familiar with it, I think you ought to brush up on personality quadrant analysis probably once every 3 months just to really put those thoughts back in your head and keep up to date on that, because your brain, you know how our brain kind of loses things if we don't really train ourselves. Just keep it in your forefront. Don't just think about, you know, somebody that gave a talk 3 years ago at Manifest. That's not going to help you today unless you're keeping it in the forefront so you keep acknowledging it. Okay, everyone, I don't have anything else. Anyone have any last-minute comments, questions? Otherwise, we'll call it a morning. Anyone? Okay, everyone, have a great week, second week of business period 3, so let's make it happen, and we're right in the midst of the incentive, and I expect you all to win. Okay, everybody, bye.